Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Brad Young sitting in the big chair for Ryan Recker. And Zach, we talked earlier in the evening about the fact that I put this app on Ryan's phone. And so what I'd like to do is, because he told me when I told him I was going to be filling in for him while he was gone. And I said, hey, Ryan, what are you doing on New Year's Eve? Anything exciting? Because I'm going to be sitting in, you know, you're going to be listening in. He goes, no, we're going to be playing backgammon. That's what he told me. I'm going to be playing backgammon with my family. So I just put this app on his phone because I don't know how to play backgammon. So I wanted to hear, what does it sound like to play backgammon with your family? So, Zach, if you could just pod that up a little bit. Let's hear this is Ryan playing backgammon right now in the Recker household. Ryan. Ryan, this does not sound like backgammon. It sounds like some ladies in a bikini dancing. That's what it sounds like. I've never seen that playing backgammon.
I'm happy. I'm so happy.
I'm happy, he said. Oh, I did hear him say that. He said, I'm happy. So he must be winning at backgammon. That's why he's happy. That and maybe drinking, you know, those drinks with umbrellas in them with fruit attached to a toothpick. Maybe that's why backgammon is so fun at the Recker household. So anyway, we might check in with him a little bit later to see how he's doing, because obviously he's doing pretty well. So God bless you, Ryan, and we'll see you when you get back. In the last hour, I was talking about some predictions because, you know, this is not technically the end of the decade, okay? The end of the decade will not end until December 31st of 2020. But nobody gets that. You know, Prince said we're going to party like it's 1999. And I'm like, Prince, you got it off by a year, pal. You missed it by a year. It's supposed to be party like it's 2000 because that's the end of the decade. But, you know, he didn't get that and he never corrected it. But technically, that's the way it works. And just to refresh your memory so you can annoy your friends and anger your loved ones, you can point out to them that there is no year zero in the Anno Domini calendar system. That's what we have, AD. There's no year zero. There was no year zero. We started with year one because there is no such thing as a year zero. So if you look at the fact that we had a year one, if you look at 10 years, that is 1 through 10. So the last year of the decade is the year ending in 0, not the year ending in 9. So the 2010s, love them. They're still going to be around for an additional 12 months. But putting that aside, okay, Brad, come on, stop being so literal. Okay, if you just look at the last decade, I was trying to come up with some predictions. And I mentioned just a few in the last hour. If you've got some of your own predictions, I'd certainly like to hear them. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. Predictions for the next 10 years. And I'm going to get into looking backwards over the last decade here shortly, but here's just a few of the predictions. And I mentioned last hour, I think next 10 years are going to be the battery decade, because everything that we have, the focus of the direction that we're moving is everything using a battery. And so right now, the cell phones use lithium-ion batteries, and they're getting marginally better, but there's a lot of technology out there on the horizon that could come to fruition in the next 10 years, and there is certainly an economic advantage to whatever company can develop batteries. Can you imagine if you had a battery that could recharge in 10 minutes? I mean, how cool would that be? You use it all day, you plug it in, and in 10 minutes or say 30 seconds, your battery's recharged. I think technically that is possible. In fact, I've read companies are working on that very technology right now, because whoever's the first to develop that technology, they're going to make billions because, you know, people in Africa are running around, people in Asia, people in every continent of the planet. They may live in a mud hut, but they've got a cell phone, okay? Because that technology is transformative. So this could be the battery decade. The other thing I mentioned is the death of cable television. Again, that's not all that prophetic. We're seeing that right now with cord cutters. I've got three daughters. One of my daughters just graduated from Mizzou last year. And if you ask her, hey, how many of your friends have cable? She's going to say, I'm sorry, what's cable? I mean, because nobody has cable her age, or very few people anyway. Why? Because it's expensive. I mean, you don't, you've got 400 channels, but how many do you really watch? 5, maybe 10. So you've got all these channels that you don't watch, but you're paying for it. So why not have a transformative technology that simply gives you the channels that you want at a lower price? We're seeing that right now. That's only going to continue. And I mentioned the polarization of political parties. Republicans are going to become more libertarian. Democrats will become more socialistic. And again, we're seeing it now. We're seeing it now, particularly on the left. All the major candidates on the left are pretty much endorsing policies that 20 years ago would have been labeled outright socialism, whether it's socialized medicine, socialized healthcare, socialized education, forgiveness of all of the student loan debts, and the march on to the left continues. So, but the right is also going to be moving. The right is not going to be stagnant. The right's going to be moving more towards the libertarian aspect. Why? 24-hour news. That's really what, at least in my perspective, is what's driving that particular movement. The other things that I just jotted down, 3D guns. You know, we saw mention, I think it was about 2 years ago, about some 3D guns that were out on the market, and there were some laws that were passed prohibiting the downloading and exchange of 3D weapons. You're going to see more of that. Why? Again, because it's cheap, it gets around regulations, it's easy to do, and people are going to be motivated to do that. So you're going to see 3D printed guns. But what's really cool, I think, is we're going to start seeing 3D printed organs. I mean, I've watched documentaries on this as recently as last month about how doctors and researchers are experimenting with making 3D printed organs. And folks, that's like out of Star Trek kind of a thing, you know, where you go to a computer, type in what you need, and it prints you out an organ. Whether it's an ear or a finger or whatever you need, it's going to print one out. Yeah, I need a liver. Okay, well, I mean, it's not going to be like a vending machine, but you're going to see 3D printed organs, I think, in the next 10 years. A couple of other things here in the minutes we have left. I think we'll see a recession in 2021 or 2022. Why do I say that? Well, historically, usually the year of a campaign is generally speaking in most years a pretty good year economically, but the year following, more often than not, ends in a recession. So recessions are inevitable. There's no economic system that is immune to a recession unless it's a controlled economy like China, where they really should be having recessions. They're just artificially holding them back. And that's why you see a lot of commentators today talking about China's going to have an economic meltdown in the not too distant future because the economy is not allowed to expand or contract naturally. So we'll have a recession in 2021 or 2022. We're also two more, and then we'll take a break here. We're going to start seeing CGI characters to replace actual actors in movies. Now, we've seen CGI characters, and of course, the all-time most hated CG character, without a doubt, has to be Jar Jar Binks. I mean, nobody thought Jar Jar Binks was a good idea except George Lucas. He was the only one who liked that character. But you're going to start seeing more CGI characters because the technology is getting better and better. And pretty soon, you're not going to be able to tell the difference. That's why we might see a new John Wayne movie in the next 10 years. We might see a new Marilyn Monroe movie in the next 10 years. They're dead, but they could be brought back digitally. We've already seen that with Carrie Fisher in Star Wars. We've seen it with other actors as well. So you'll see that in the 10 years. And final, before we head to the break, in the next 10 years, we will still be talking about the emerging artificial intelligence. You know, if you ever read magazines like Wired or Popular Science or Popular Mechanics, they're always talking about AI, artificial intelligence. It's going to be transformative. It's going to be amazing. You won't understand. You can't even understand all the ways it's going to change our society. Well, in 10 years, we'll probably be talking about the same thing. You know, in the next 10 years, we're going to see AI do amazing things. I don't think we're there yet, but we will be soon, just not in the next 10 years. And finally, my not-so-serious top 10 prediction. I'm just wondering if Elizabeth Warren is going to open, you know, a Native American casino to finance her presidential campaign. We'll have to see if that happens. Probably not, but it certainly is a possibility. Brad Young on Overnight America. When we come back, what are your predictions for the next 10 years? 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 on KMOX Radio. Welcome back to Overnight America. Brad Young sitting in for Ryan Recker. Glad you're with us this evening. Talking about predictions, talking about the end of the, well, the alleged end of the decade, where we've been, but more importantly, where we're going. So we've got Bob who's called in. Bob, what are your predictions for the coming year or years?
Well, I have one prediction. I heard some interesting stuff about how China is building a whole lot of ships and they're building up their navy.
Yeah, they're not only building up ships, they're building islands in the South Island, in the South China Sea. And
exactly.
They're building missiles at an incredible rate, and they're building ships. Now, there's some question about whether those ships are what we call blue water, which means they can sail across the ocean, or whether they're brown water, meaning they stay close to shore. But they are certainly on a shipbuilding binge. You are exactly right.
My prediction is that we really don't know what they're doing because they're so secretive. My prediction is by 2030, they will have a navy that is comparable to ours, mm-hmm. because they're always stealing our technology also. So
yes, they are.
I think that by 2030, they are going to have a navy that's going to rival ours and missile technology and such. It's going to be it's not going to be good.
I think there's a lot of merit to that, Bob. I think you've articulated a very scary but potentially accurate prediction. Have you ever heard of something called the Thucydides Trap? Have you ever heard of that?
No, I have not.
Well, the Thucydides Trap, and I want to explain this because I want your opinion on it. Thucydides Trap is a concept that analyzes ancient history through today. And in every situation where you've had a nation who has been established as the world superpower, and there's a rising power, those two countries inevitably wind up in war. And in like 11 of the 14 times this has happened going back through recorded history, 11 out of 14, there's been a major global battle between those two countries. Do you see us at some point actually going to war with China, or will it be more like a Cold War that we had with the Soviet Union?
I think with China, as big as they are, I think it's going to be a Cold War at first, and then it's probably by 2030 when they get all their ships in the sea and such, you know, with all their missile technology and mm-hmm. stuff. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot to knock out one ship if you have super missile technology. I mean, they can, anybody can knock out one battleship or one aircraft carrier with one great missile that can't be stopped.
Exactly. And that's not lost on the United States Navy, because the latest aircraft carrier that we have, it's the USS Gerald R. Ford. It cost $13 billion to build that thing. And if you could sink it with a missile that costs $1 million, that's an amazing trade-off. $1 million missile sinks a $13 billion aircraft carrier. Boy, that's a war of attrition that we could never win.
No, I have one also, not a prediction, but something that I would like to see our U.S. military do.
Okay, what's that?
Is produce a bunch of smaller ships with the missile technology that is available, and have a bunch of little ships out there that are hard to detect and hard to hit.
Mm-hmm.
For all I know, they are already out there. I don't know.
Well, there is. Have you ever heard? You could Google this later. Have you ever heard of something called the Sea Hunter?
No, I have not.
Well, Google it when you're finished, when we're finished talking. The Sea Hunter is what's called an unmanned vehicle. It's an unmanned ship that the U.S. Navy built about 2 years ago. We've been testing it. We've been developing it. And now we're going to start building more of them. It's small. It's hard to detect. Right now, it doesn't carry missiles or armaments, but it could easily be modified to do that. It's stealthy. It's unmanned. It can operate by itself autonomously for months and months and months. And we can build them by the truckloads cheaply, very quickly. And I think that's really what you're talking about. We could expand that unmanned ship Navy and build that up very quickly to compete with China. Bob, I appreciate you calling in this evening. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, keep listening. We also have Sherman, who wants to talk about a satellite hack. What's on your mind, Sherman?
Yes, just a few days ago, I think I heard the secretary, I believe he's secretary, he was talking about the satellite that actually the foreign powers, whether it's China or Russia, has been trying to, ever since we've done a lot of things with our satellite. In fact, that's how a lot of the commerce come along and everything. They've been trying to get to that. And that is their end goal, is to destroy our satellite system. And we depend upon that a lot for commerce economic transactions, things like that. So,
well, it's even more than that, Sherman. How do you think, when we've got all of these ships that are at sea, the Navy, U.S. Navy, largest in the world, how do you think they navigate mm-hmm. around the globe?
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
With satellites. Right. And so if China can hack satellites that will affect navigation, you know, we saw during the Gulf War, this was in the 90s, we fired these missiles that could go through windows of buildings, and we were all in awe mm-hmm. of it. That's all done with GPS. So that fits in exactly with what you're talking about. If China could hack satellites, prevent GPS from working, prevent us from using satellites, we would lose communication, we would lose navigation, we would lose the ability to fire missiles and direct weapons of war. That would be pretty much a crippling blow, wouldn't it?
It would be, it would cause us, even if it's just temporary, a major blow. And I just got two more predictions.
Okay, make it
I
quick.
Predict we're going to have our, I'll be quick, our satellite, commercial satellite, I mean, I'm sorry, we'll have a commercial ship that probably enters space to make global, if not one, two of those. And then the last one I predict is the Cardinals are going to win at least two times.
Sherman, you're a smart guy. You know that? You are a smart guy. So, thanks for sharing your predictions tonight with us on Camel X. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Good night. Well, we've heard some of their predictions. What are your predictions? I'd like to hear those so we can discuss those. Brad Young sitting in for Ryan Recker. Our phone number, as always, 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120. We'll be right back after this break on KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. Producer Zach and I was chatting offline about the new Star Wars movie, and it really kind of ties in with one of the things I mentioned in my predictions in the previous hour, and that is that we're going to start seeing more and more CGI characters to replace actual characters. And, you know, we've already seen that. I mean, here's an example. Peter Cushing. You remember, I don't know I'm in my early 50s, but, you know, Peter Cushing did a lot of cheesy horror movies and vampire movies in the 60s and 70s. But one of the things that he did was he was in the initial Star Wars movie, and it was a pivotal role. And so when Rogue One came out a couple of years ago, Peter Cushing was in that movie. And you're like, hey, how can that happen? The dude died, you know, 15, 20 years ago, right? But he was one of the first examples of a character that's throughout the entire movie that was a main character but wasn't designed to look like a CGI character. I mean, I mentioned Jar Jar Binks, and I loathe that character, and I shall till the day I die. But when you look at Jar Jar Binks, you don't think, hey, that looks like a real guy. you're like, what the heck is that mess and why is it on my screen? But Peter Cushing was supposed to be a real guy. And what they did was, when they made Rogue One, they found an actor who looked, had the same body type as Peter Cushing, and then they digitally did his face and then added a voice. And to me, I look at it from two ways that this is a fascinating trend. First is the obvious being the technical side. I mean, it's pretty interesting to say, someone who's dead, we can bring them back. I mean, that's your classic science fiction movies. Nobody's dead, you can bring them back, right? But now we can actually do that, at least digitally. So Zach also mentioned that James Dean is going to be in a movie coming up here in the coming year or two. And his career was tragically struck very short. And so although he's a big name, he didn't make that many movies just because he died tragically at such a young age. But when we see a new John Wayne movie, you know, it's going to be amazing to see him in an entire full-length movie. We got 1917 movies just going to be coming out in January, World War One. I mean, how awesome would it be to see John Wayne in that? You know, I mean, it would be crazy, and it can happen. Or Marilyn Monroe is the other one that I mentioned. The Rise of Skywalker, I haven't seen it yet. And please, if you call in tonight, don't tell me anything because I don't want spoilers, okay? But we saw Carrie Fisher make an appearance in prior movies as a younger version of herself, and I suspect that there might be something of that nature in The Rise of Skywalker. But the second angle that to me is so interesting is the legal. Because these are actors that have long since died, and yet in their contracts that they had with studios, there was no understanding or even contemplation that their image might be used in the future to make more movies. No, it wasn't even in the realm of concept. They couldn't even envision that as happening or being plausible. So I'll tell you what they did in Rogue One. If you watch Rogue One at the very end of the movie, it says that they're thanks to the family of Peter Cushing who gave their permission to use him in the movie or something to that effect. And so they paid the family of Peter Cushing for that image. And legally, you have a legal right to control your image. But the question becomes, how long does your estate own the right to your image? To infinity and beyond, if I can use that phrase? I don't know. We don't know. We're making it up as we go along. So the technical aspect is certainly interesting. But you've also got the legal component. How do we handle the legalities of putting Marilyn Monroe in a movie? How do we do that? So those are things that we're going to have to figure out legally as this process moves forward. And since we're talking about actors and actresses, I thought it would be very, very timely to play this whole nother story by Kevin Colleen, because it deals with an actor who grew up right here in O'Fallon, Illinois.
Time now for a whole nother story with Kevin Colleen. Today, Kevin gets some advice on life and love from a man who knows a little something about life and love.
And you know what? When I met my wife, I didn't even know her. We just met in St. Ambrose. And I see her on a distance. I said, she's going to be my wife.
Umberto Pasanisi has a comforting way of telling you what life has taught him.
42.
That's terrific.
42 years with my...
Yeah. And what's the secret of keeping a marriage that long? Because a marriage is like an old car. It can break down.
No. You really want to know? Yes, ma'am. Honey, do. And you say, yes, ma'am. Okay, I do for you. You know, but they work. We work both ways. You got to sacrifice to achieve things, like I did.
What did you sacrifice through the years for your family?
Well, I sacrificed. I get up at 5:30 in the morning for 35 years.
That's almost as early as Debbie Monterey.
Yeah, that's right. Every day without a miss one day. In the winter time, I able to get up, start the car, warm it up the car. The heater wasn't working, put a lot of blankets on my legs to try to make it work. You know, and I mean, you're talking about sacrifice. I did. But thank God, I had a wonderful kids. They are my life and wonderful grandkids. Let's put it this way. So, what do you want to ask me now?
What do you do for fun now that you're retired?
What I do for fun? Come to work. I'm still 76.
Something to do.
Something to do, and you keep going. Right. Your mind is occupied. You know, I can't stand to stay home and watching this. I can't watch TV all day long. I mean, that's not for me.
Life is work for Umberto Pessimisi.
Life for Umberto is work. And work is good. You got to keep going if you want to live a little bit longer.
Umberto Pessimisi, who helps his wife Sandy at Sandy's Tailor and Alterations at 6049 Hampton. With a whole other story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
You know, folks, this is what happens when the guest host is in, you know, so I'm sorry I clicked the wrong button. But by the way, listen, have you ever heard a Kevin Killeen whole nother story that you did not love? Have you ever heard one? And the answer to that is clearly no, because Kevin Killeen is a jewel of the St. Louis area, and we are so thrilled to have him at Camo X. What I was leading up to was to talk about, I mentioned Peter Cushing and James Dean and John Wayne and Marilyn Monroe and even Carrie Fisher, about all these actors who are being digitally recreated. And it just so happens that another very famous actor grew up right across the river over in O'Fallon, Illinois. And Kevin Killeen had this to say about the hometown hero from O'Fallon, Illinois.
A Sidewalk Dixieland band was playing After I'm Gone, the song about hoping somebody will remember you after you're dead. Then came the speeches.
We're very proud in O'Fallon, Illinois, just across the river, to have the most famous person from our town to be recognized here in the St. Louis Walk of Fame.
And what is fame? Is it to have won an Academy Award for this scene?
Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
No, I don't sprechen Sie Deutsch.
Maybe just one word? Kaput? Because you're kaput, Price.
Or is fame to have been the highest paid actor in another movie about blowing up a bridge? But his was not just an action hero fame. He also danced romantically with Kim Novak in Picnic. Remember the dock scene lit by Japanese lanterns and the moon glow? Then saddling up for a Western later in his career.
When you side with a man, you stay with him. And if you can't do that, you're like some animal. You're finished.
William Holden was in the movie that introduced the world to slow-motion shootouts. He died in 1981, survived only by one local relative who attended the ceremony.
Bill had the family disease of alcoholism, unfortunately. We all suffer from it. Unfortunately, it got to him.
That's how he died, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
He fell on a coffee table?
He hit his head, and he was too embarrassed to call for help, thought he could staunch the bleeding himself, and passed out from loss of blood and died.
Well, thanks to everyone who came out today to celebrate the induction of the great William Holden.
Joe Edwards of Blueberry Hill, who invented the St. Louis Walk of Fame, wrapped up the ceremony, and the crowd dispersed, leaving you to wonder, does anyone now still remember Bill Holden?
Ma'am! Do you know Bill Holden, the actor?
Uh-uh.
Can you name any of his movies?
No.
How old are you?
76.
Well, that's one person.
Well, let's see. The name of the show was he in Wagon Train, though?
Fame is so fleeting. Do you know who William Holden was?
Not really. I don't really watch TV.
Fame is a fickle friend. After he's gone these 30 years, fewer people remember William Holden. The snow will cover that star on the Walk of Fame, and people will step on him without knowing it. And even our own fame, that family wedding picture you like, it'll probably end up in an estate sale where a stranger will pay a buck for the frame and throw your picture away. With a whole other story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
Kevin, I love Kevin Killeen. To answer your question, yes, some people do remember William Holden. In fact, there's four movies. I'm just going to mention four that he's fantastic in these four movies. And first is Stalag 17. And you're probably going to guess, but Stalag 17 is an escape movie, prisoners in World War II. But part of that was the basis for Hogan's Heroes. Now, I got to tell you, Stalag 17 was not a comedy, but the idea of being Americans in a POW camp. So Stalag 17, he's so cool in that movie. The other movie is Sunset Boulevard. And if you like Hollywood from the golden age of Hollywood, Sunset Boulevard is a classic. And again, the William Holden characters are all very similar. Good-looking, smart, but fallen, make mistakes, subject to, you know, drinking, subject to falling for women, being in bad situations. Seems like that's a lot of his characters. Network, which is a classic movie about network television. And that movie is as accurate as it was then. It is still today. It's just as accurate today. And then finally, The Towering Inferno, one of the classic disaster movies of all time. And it's got a longer list of stars in that movie than any movie I can think of. So those four movies, William Holden from O'Fallon, Illinois. Kevin, thanks for highlighting that. You know, I've been a fan of William Holden's forever. Never knew he was from O'Fallon, Illinois until I heard Kevin Killeen's Whole Nother Story. When we come back, I want to talk about some other predictions. I want to look at the decade that we've just been through, talk about some transformative technologies that we've had, and make some additional predictions for the future. What are your predictions? That's been our theme for this evening, and certainly we'd like to hear from you. 314-436-7900 or 1-800-925-1120 on Overnight America. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Overnight America. During the break, we had a caller call in and say that one of the William Holden movies that are fantastic, I haven't seen this particular one, called The Counterfeit Traitor, 1962. It looks like it's another World War II movie. It's a thriller. It was made in Sweden, so I just have not seen that particular movie, but I will be contacting the St. Louis County Library tomorrow to request my copy of The Counterfeit Traitor. You know, that's another thing. If you like classic movies, it's hard to see them on the big screen because they're not there and you can't get them at Redbox. What do you do? Well, I've got the app on my phone, and I request tons of movies from the St. Louis County Library System. I know the St. Louis City Public Library does the same thing. So if there are classic movies that you want to see, can't watch it on the big screen, can't get it on Netflix, or if you can't watch it on Amazon Prime, what are you supposed to do? Well, it's the old-fashioned thing called a DVD, so you can actually get it from the library. You know, it's funny, again, my kids love to mock me, and I bring home some DVDs from the library, and I get the, check out Dad, he's got the cool DVD technology. Of course, it's antiquated, but my response to that mocking is always the same. Okay, hey, Jeff Bezos, show me how I can watch that movie on Amazon Prime. And they'll show you, Amazon Prime's got a lot of movies you can watch, but it costs like $5 to watch it. Get it from the library, your tax dollars cover it. So I'm a big fan of the library. And so if you want to re-experience the William Holden movies, William Holden from O'Fallon, Illinois, check those out and include in that The Counterfeit Traitor. We are at the end of the year. That's not in doubt or in question. You know, I question whether at the end of the decade or not, but that being as it may, we always see these polls and stories about end of the year ideas. And the pollsters are very busy this time of year. And one of the things that Gallup does every year is that they take a poll of Americans. It's a significant poll. I think they questioned over 3,000 people, 2,000 people. So that's obviously a significant number of people. And they asked, who is the most admired man in America? And they also asked, well, who's the most admired woman in America? But let's start with the man. Who do you think is the most admired man in America? Well, if you watch any of the ongoing news stories on CNN or MSNBC or any of those TV news channels. You wouldn't think it's Donald Trump, because apparently Donald Trump is hated, the most hated man in America. And yet, according to Gallup, this is not like a Fox News poll. It's interesting that Donald Trump tied Barack Obama this year as the most admired man in America. It's Obama's 12th time in the top spot. And you can certainly see why that's the case. This is the first for Donald Trump, which is interesting because the guy's been president for 3 years. He's going to be coming into his fourth year of his presidency. And yet this is the first time that he's ever been at the top spot for the most admired man in America. Now, I think that's interesting because of the timing. We're going into the 2020 election. At this point, according to most polls, his popularity level, his approval level is just about on par with what Obama's was at this point in time in President Obama's presidency. And of course, he got reelected. So I think that's very interesting. But yes, Barack Obama and Donald Trump tied, both at 18% of respondents said he was either he being President Trump or he being President Obama, most admired man in America. Now, here's the other thing that's interesting about this particular poll. It's not just broken down by who's the most popular man. And we'll get to the most popular woman in a moment. But what's interesting is it's broken down by Democrats, independents, and Republicans. And this, to me, is a snapshot into the American voters' psyche right now. So, for those saying President Obama, among Democrats, 41% of all survey members identified President Obama as the most admired man. Among Democrats, 2% identified Donald Trump. So, a little bit of a disparity there. 41% say President Obama, 2% said Donald Trump. But let's look at Republicans. 45% of self-identified Republicans said it was President Trump is the most admired man. Only 3% identified President Obama. So you've got the exact dichotomy of people. So let's look at the independents. 12% of independents identified Barack Obama. 10% identified Donald Trump. And those who were the runner-ups, former President Jimmy Carter, Elon Musk, who, as you know, is the real-life incarnation of Tony Stark. We all know that. Elon Musk, philanthropist, also Microsoft founder Bill Gates, and, of course, Pope Francis. Looking over at the list for the most admired women, it was really just one, Michelle Obama. She ran away with it, and she was in double digits. And usually it's more common for the first lady to be identified as the most popular woman. In this instance, we have the former first lady to win. Eleanor Roosevelt used to be in that in running as well. Jacqueline Kennedy was the most admired woman back in the 60s. Mamie Eisenhower, Betty Ford, even Hillary Clinton. But 10%. Naming Obama this year is down from 15% last year. So that's a snapshot into the American psyche. We're up on a break. When we come back, we're going to be going through disruptive technology in the past 10 years. Where are we going in the next 10 years? Brad Young sitting in for Ryan Recker on Overnight America.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.